I want you to come by the house so that I can pray for your Are you coming? Like, your mommy, why are you doing that? No. I said, yeah, I'm coming. So I went down, it was kind of bad, and I didn't have the right shoes on. So she said, you're outside, are you coming in? I said, well, Zoe, I don't have the right shoes on to come in because it's raining. She said, okay, I'll pray for you over the phone. She said, Lord, bless Grandpa's foot in Jesus' name, amen. She's gonna be a preacher one day. Amen. Evangelist. I said, you must be gonna be the evangelist preacher. She said, what is that? Amen. But you know that she continued, she was steadfast. She said, you're not going home until I pray for you first. And I think that's good. When a child, how old is she? Three?
Four
years old. Insisting about prayer. Amen. And the prayer worked, because up till she prayed for me, I didn't have one shoe on. Amen. So thank you, Joy, and thank the Lord for prayer. Amen. Let us stand for our scripture reading tonight. The spoken word mixed with faith is the greatest power on this world. Amen. We're going to just go over. So let's go to Mark, the 11th chapter. And we went over this a little while ago, but we're going to go over it again tonight because, as we said on Sunday, we need to start speaking to some of our mountains. We allow our mountains to talk to us. But we need to start speaking to some of our mountains. Amen. And that's what our message is tonight. Speak to your mountain. All of us have a different mountain. Some of you might call it a Goliath. But you got to speak to it. And stop allowing it to speak to you. Amen. So we're going to Mark 11. We're going to read verses 11 through 14, and then skip down to 22-26. Amen? Verse 11 reads, and Jesus entered into Jerusalem and into the temple. And when he had looked round about upon all things, and now the eventide was come, he went out unto Bethany with the 12. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. Now skip down to verse 20. You all can feel free reading between your own time. Verse 20 reads, and in the morning, as he passed by, they saw a fig tree dried up. What's this? A year later, but what? The next day. The spoken word mixed with faith and do some stuff. Amen. But we neglect or miss out on so many blessings. But let's keep going on. And Peter, calling to remember, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. And Jesus answered, said unto them,
Have faith
in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto the mountain. Did he leave anything out? He said, what? Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall he believe that those things which he said shall come to pass, he shall have no limitation when it's mixed with faith. He shall have whatsoever he said. Therefore I say to you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them and ye
shall have.
Once again, therefore, this is the Lord speaking. I say unto you, what things soever, whatever you desire. He did not put a limitation on that. When ye pray, believe ye receive them and share this mix. He said, when you pray the right way, and this mix of faith, he said, whatever it is, you shall have there. And when you stand praying, forgive. forgive. If you have aught against any, let your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your. May the Lord have blessed to the reading of the word. The church said, amen. May be seated. Now this is very interesting, this whole story that Jesus, the account that Mark gives, Matthew also gives an account. But the account that Mark gives has something in it that Matthew's account didn't have in it. And it says, verse 13, let's just go to verse 13. Now we know Jesus is hungry. It says, in a fig tree falls, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of fig was not yet. So the question is, why did he curse the fig tree if it was not time for figs? Right? Doesn't that seem like God's a little unrighteous? God, you know, like, what are you trying to do, Lord? Are you cursing the tree? You just say it's not time for figs. It wasn't time for the ripe figs. But when the leaves over in Jerusalem, when the leaves appear, there's a small fruit called a tasch, T-A-Q-S-H. It comes when the leaves come. So when the leaves show, even though the ripe figs are there, they're small figs that grow with the leaves. So Jesus goes to the tree that has leaves expecting fruit. And he finds no fruit on it. Amen. So that was a mockery. But you know what? The Lord already knew what was fruit on that tree, right? He's doing this as an example for who? How do we know he was doing this as an example for the disciples? And Jesus answered, said unto him, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. But what? Yes. Disciples. You know, Mark said, wait a minute. He didn't just say it. His disciples heard it. Amen. So the Lord is teaching a lesson through the fig tree. He curses it and said, and his disciples heard it. If he just cursed it, that was it. But you have to pay attention to scripture. Why is it so important that his disciples heard it? Well, we'll find out the next day, right? So the scripture says, and in the morning, as they passed by, they saw a fig tree was. Listen, a vibrant tree. This is the spoken word. A vibrant tree, one day, when Jesus speaks to it, the next day it's dried up. Can you picture it? A full, vibrant, live tree, the next day is dead. But its disciples, faith cometh by hearing. Isn't that what the Bible says? His disciples heard it. And Peter, calling to remember, said unto him, Master, behold the fig tree, which thou hast, with thy curse, there shall the next day, not a year later. Amen. How many know our God is a right now God? Amen. When you speak anything mixed with faith, God cannot deny it. So Peter, look, the Lord goes on to say in the 22nd verse, Jesus answered unto them, faith in God. Another interpretation says they have the faith of God. So that means have a faith of God. Well, what do you mean the faith of God? You see what I just did. You see how I spoke to the fig tree, and a tree that was completely alive was dead. Listen, there ain't nothing in this whole world that can kill a tree overnight. Not only did the tree die, but it was ripped up. Do you understand? Just go, one day you see a live tree, the next day it's completely dead. There's power in the spoken word. So the Lord said, you know what? I did this to the fig tree. But now I'm going to give you an example that's even greater. Listen, you can take an earthquake, you can take everything. Nothing can move a mountain out into the sea. But the spoken word mixed with faith. Amen? Amen. For verily I say unto you that whosoever, that's all of us, says, whosoever. Whosoever shall say unto you. Right? Because Jerusalem is situated where? Mountains. He said, whosoever shall say. That's what I like about the Lord. He don't use abstract things. He uses something that you can see. Right? He uses the fig tree. Now he said, you see this mountain where we are? You can say to this mountain. Speak to your mountains. This is what the Lord said. You can speak to the mountains. Whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea. But there's a clause. There's a condition. Somebody said, well, I've been speaking. Why did it happen? But shall not. Right? The word, when you mix something with faith and you speak it, no matter if it doesn't happen that day, expect it the next day. Remember, there was a woman that Jesus prayed for. The Bible said, when he finished praying, nothing happened. But as she went, she was healed. He told the woman with the issue of blood, he said, your faith has made thee whole. But what the lady didn't just approach Jesus, the scripture says, she said in her heart, thank you. She said, she spoke this way to herself. She said, if I can but, hallelujah, I'll touch you. The greatest power in this whole world is Jesus. When you touch him, we have the same power that he has. She said, if I can, she's speaking to herself. Not negative, not what I can't do. She said, but if I can just touch you. Somebody needs something tonight, you got to touch him. But you got to say it where? In your heart. From the abundance of the heart, the scripture said, the mouth speaketh. Right? And then this proverb said, set a watch over your heart. He said, guard your heart with all diligence. For out of it are thee. That guarding set a watch around your heart. The devil knows this. So what does he do? He attacks our hearts, he attacks our minds to not try to make us quit and give up. Now we know Hebrews 12:1 says, Wherefore comfort the ground with so great a cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. But then he adds something to that. He said, looking unto. You know what? He said, you don't know what to do. You don't know how to go through this. Look unto. Well, all 11 talked about all the faith hall of fame and Moses and Abel and Enoch and all of them all the way down through life. He said, but now when you really get into it, look unto Jesus. Why? Because he's the author and finisher of your faith. The Bible said, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down on the right hand of the throne of God. He said, now consider him that he could endure such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest he be weary to what? Maybe a lie. So do you think the devil knows these scriptures? Yes. So what does he do to the church, to the saints? Always assembling us in our minds. Because he's trying to get us to faint. Well, if you keep your eyes on Jesus, you won't faint. Amen. If you keep your mind on Jesus, your mind won't be attacked to the point that you want to give up. Then you can speak to your situation through faith. Right? And Jesus said, if you speak in faith and go down in your heart, and then he goes down in the 24th verse of this 11th chapter, he says, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray. You know, a lot of people say, can you pray for me? They said, Jesus said, listen, you want this? Who got to pray? You got to pray. Right? But you got to pray mixed with faith. A lot of times we go to God, but our minds have already quit. We've already given up. We've already thinking in our mind, and we go to God saying, God, I just know. I'm just doing it because they say do this. You're not going to get a blessing. Because that's not with faith. I can take a bulldozer and all kind of earth equipment, and I can't move a mountain at one spoken word. But the Lord said, you can say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou, and it will obey your voice when? Right then. Glory. Do you understand the power of the spoken word when it's next to faith? And then we need to stop allowing the devil to beat us in the corner, always seeing the worst of everything. When the scripture says, if God be for us, if God be for us, who then? So life and death are in the power of the tongue. What have you been speaking? What have you been entertaining? What's in your heart? Because from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. You can't have a whole lot of stuff in your heart. But let me get down to ancient. Let's go. Let's finish this up. So he tells them all of that. Now, what does this, these next two verses have to do with speaking and having faith and moving a mountain? He says in verse 25, and when you stand, pray. Forgive if you have all against. He's given us a condition. You want to move that mountain? What's in your heart? You understand what I'm saying? You're trying to move a mountain, but you can't move a mountain because you haven't forgiven somewhere. These are the conditions. I don't care who wronged you. You gotta look at somebody say, let it go. Come on, look at them, tell you gotta let it go. He said, if you have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive your, but if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven. That has to do with prayer and moving a mountain, yes. Because only in the pure heart you're going to see God. You can't approach God with a whole lot of foolishness in your heart and think God's going to hear your prayer. And then, you know, I say, I'm all happy, you know. I've been baptized in Jesus' name. Right, so you get all happy with that, right? All happy, and then you see somebody all messed up. God's going to hear your prayer. That's right. I don't care what, even if it's an unsaved person, you got to forgive them. So I'm down on my knees praying. I wonder why Jesus said, if anybody comes to the altar and you brought your gift and you remember you have, or somebody has, even if they got all against you, he said, leave your gift at the altar. Then go reconcile with whoever has it all. Then come back. I can't get free in Jesus because you won't forgive. So you're trying to forgive. You're trying to get a blessing. You're trying to get healing. And every time you turn around, you're bringing up the past. God can't help you. God can't help you until you do it the right way. So you got to let some stuff go. No matter who it is, listen, the greatest life you can have is to be free in Jesus. You can't control what other people do, but you can certainly control what you do. You can't control how other people react to you, but you can control what you do. You're trying to move a mountain, but you got all that stuff on the inside. That mountain ain't moving. You got to clean. You know what the Bible says? First clean the inside, then the outside. So we need to have a different approach. We are a child of God. And as a child of God, we're supposed to represent the fullness of God. And go to Galatians chapter 5 for a minute. I'm gonna come back to our thing. But the Lord just put this on my heart. When we got the Holy Ghost, we got the what? Spirit. When we got the Holy Ghost, we got the what? Because the Holy Ghost is the what? Well, when we got to go to verse 22, I believe it is. All right, we got the spirit, right? There's some tangible evidence that we have things of the flesh. Maybe we need go to verse, is it 21 or 20? Go to 20. All right. Now we want to do the spirit. Now let's see if we can find, go up one more, I think it is. All right, start there. Now the words of the flesh. Now the flesh and the spirit, the Bible says what? Contrary. They're not the same. You cannot mix these, right? The words of the flesh are manifest, which are these. Adultery. That's the flesh. Fornication. That's the flesh. Uncleanness. That is the flesh. Lasciviousness. That is the. Those are all sexual sins. Nobody knows that, but the individual, the sinner. But he keeps going. He says, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murder, drunkenness, revelings, and such the like, of which I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, they will do these things. So not in here, the kingdom of God. So a whole lot of people on the way to heaven with all that. I'm just saying, you know, I hear people say, well, God will forgive you, yeah, but if you continue in it, God won't forgive you. If you make a mistake, the Bible says, if you confess and forsake that sin, then God will have mercy. But whoso comforts in sin can't prosper. So a lot of people are sinning outside the church, coming to church and asking God for help. The Bible says you won't prosper. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Hey, listen, ain't no one is there. You can't do it too much. You know what I'm saying? Well, I ain't gonna let nobody take advantage of me. You're supposed to be a child of God. I'm just saying. The Bible said when Jesus was reviled, he didn't go back at him. Even when they slapped the spit in him, he could go back. Every time something happened to us, we got to go back at somebody. Ouch. That's a sidebar. You can't move a mountain for a whole lot of foolishness in your heart. The Bible says, who can say I have not sinned, that my heart is clean? We read that last year, 12 times at least, because we read one book of Proverbs. All right, each day of the month for 12 months. So that's 12 times we read that. Say, who can say I made my heart clean, that I have no sin? Nobody can make their hearts clean. Only God can cleanse us. I get another thought, but I'm not going to go there. Let's stay on our message. All right, so it's important, we're talking about the spoken word mixed with what? Faith. Prayer mixed with faith. Not doubt, not unbelief, not questioning God, but believing God. There's power in our words. Amen. There's power to heal as well as power to destroy. Amen. Don't speak negative stuff. I practice hard trying to speak negative. Even if I know something, I try not to speak negative stuff because we put labels on people. And unfortunately, many times you can hear the same stuff so much that you start embracing a lie. So don't speak negative to people. Amen. Even when I work my grandkids a lot, even when they mess up, I say, yeah, you did a good job. In the back of my mind, I say, whoa. You know why? Because we don't want to speak negative. I'm just going to ask you a question. You know, you ever remember as a child, I know when I used to work with my father. My father was a tough man. But he taught us a lot, right? My father would give us a job that we never did in our whole life and tell us it better be right when I come back. Me and my brother would look at each other. Me and my brother Joe was sitting with Sue. We look at each other. I don't know, but we better start doing something. This is the truth. When he dug out the basement of our house, he broke all all these truckloads and truckloads of stones. I mean, you know, you gotta cover the whole basement. He said, I want you to take all these stones, I want them to be 4 inches, and I want the whole thing to be level. And when I come back, I won't just want to do what I have to do, and it better be right. He said, yes, sir. He left. I look at Joe. Joe looked at me and said, I don't know what he wants to do. But guess what? I don't know how bad we messed up. He never told us we messed up. We did. All those stones, we put them down in the basement, and we thought they were leveled. You know what? I learned, don't speak negative. Try to help out. You ruin him. It's not helping anybody out. Speak positive to your kids. Speak positive to the people you work with. Speak positive. Don't speak negative. Anybody can say negative stuff. Right? But how about speaking positive stuff? Find the good. Right? You know, I read a story about a man who said this guy lost like $10 million for the economy. And the boss, he thought the boss was going to come down hard on him. He said, you know what, the good thing, you didn't lose $100 million. That employee was so encouraged, he went out and got the $10 million plus back because the boss didn't come down hard on him. We need to change. We need to change our approach sometimes, amen? Now let's go to Matthew, the 17th chapter. Matthew the 17th chapter is dealing with mountains too. I don't want to go there. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 1. So how many got some mountains?
Amen.
All of us got something that we won't go out to move. The problem with a lot of our mountains, we've come to accept those mountains. We've accepted whatever that mountain is. Everyone has a different mountain. You can call it the Goliath. You can call it the impossible. We've all come to accept it, and we've become complacent in it. Well, this is Israel after they came out of Egypt. Verse 1 reads, these be the words which Moses spake unto all Israel on this side of Jordan in the wilderness, in the plain over against the Red Sea between Paran and Tophel and Laban and Hazeroth and Dizahabah, wherever. And it came to pass in the 40th year, in the 11th month, God is such a God of precision. The 11th month on the first day of the month that Moses spake unto the children of Israel according to all that the Lord had given him in commandments unto them. After he had slain Sihon, the king of the Amorites, which dwelt in Heshbon, and Og, king of Bashan, which dwelt at Ashtaroth in Edrei, on this side Jordan, in the land of Moab, began Moses to declare the law, saying, the Lord your God spake unto us in Horeb, saying, ye have dwelt? You're way up that mountain if you've been there long enough. You cannot stay there. Then he said, this is the what? 40th year, the 11th day, and the first day of that month. 11th month, the first day of the month. He said, for 40 years you've been accepting this mountain. Whatever it is, he said, you've been there long enough. It's time to get rid of that mountain. It's time for a change. Well, how does a change come? You got to mix it with faith. Have faith in God. Whatever that impossibility is, believe God. Amen. Let's go to 1 Samuel, the 17th chapter. This is something that we're all very familiar with. You have to learn to speak. Remember the disciples when Jesus was in the ship and they were in the midst of a storm? And they woke the Lord up and said, Lord, care not that we perish. The Bible said, all God did was get up and did what? Spoke to the wind. Peace. Be still. He didn't do no big ostentatious display. All he did was. Those disciples said, what manner a man is this, that even the wind, but I heard Jesus say, the works that I do shall ye do and greater. But the reason we don't do the greater is because we don't have the faith of God. If we have faith of God, we can do anything. There's no limitation on a child of God. Only limitation on a child of God is God's will. Then we can ask for stuff, but God says, it's not in my will yet. Right? Remember, God has three answers to prayer. What are they? Yes, no, and not yet. So a lot of times when God says, I'm going to do it, but I don't want to do it yet, we get upset. Just like Joseph when he was in prison, when he had interpreted the butler dream and the butler went back to Pharaoh, Joseph was expecting deliverance then. But God said, not yet. Because if I deliver you now, you're just going to be like an average person. God has a greater plan because God sees further than we see. So the Bible says after 2 full years, the butler remembered Joseph. And then at this time, when he came, God said, now is your time. Now is the time when your brother's sheaves are going to bow down to your sheep. Now is the time when the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars are going to fall down and worship. Because now is the time. But don't get discouraged. Don't quit. Keep going forward. Because the answer is not. It is not yet. Yes, but it's what? Not yet. If you believe God, regardless to what's happening in your life, I've been telling God for a long time, God, there's still some not yet. Because I know God has told me to do some things that have not yet materialized. So when I pray, I just keep saying, Lord, not yet. I'm not going to get discouraged. And you know what I said? All these died in faith. Not having received the promise, but having seen them fall. And they embraced them and they were persuaded. You got to have a persuasion. Even if you don't have it, you can see it afar off, believe it, and believe God. But let's close here. I only have a few minutes left. In 1 Samuel, the 17th chapter. Now, Goliath represents a mountain. But the problem with Israel is they were listening to the mountain. The difference between all Israel, and this is a whole army of Israelites, the difference between them and David is David spoke to Goliath. All the rest of Israel, Goliath spoke to them. You understand? So since Goliath spoke to them, they were afraid. And every time Goliath showed himself, they retreat and run. But hallelujah, here a young child. Yes. Amen. The Bible says, out of the mouth of babes and suckling has God perfected praise. Amen. See, a child shall lead them. Yes. That's what the Bible says. Right? That's why I don't disqualify children. Amen. God can use whoever he wants to. Verse 31 says, and when the words were heard with David, by faith, right? He didn't just, he spoke, right? They rehearsed him before Saul and he sent for him and David spoke again. Goliath was speaking to everybody else and they were silent. Lord, thank you. Don't let the devil shut you up and shut you down. Goliath was speaking and everybody else was. But David had a different mindset. Now David is speaking because he knew who was behind him. You know, we all got those, all these little cliches. The power behind us is greater than the task before us. You know all that stuff. And seriously, you know, the power behind us is greater than the task before us. When the task show up, you're going to hide. Well, after the power. Change. Because he's a what? Same. So we got a lot of cliches. We can't live on cliches. We got to live on God. So David said to Saul, let no man heart fail because of him. My servant will go and fight with this. David was a child. All those grown men were running. Didn't have the courage to fight. And David said unto Saul, verse 34, David said unto Saul, verse 33, and Saul said to David, now this is when you can't listen to the enemy. If God tells you to do something, don't let nobody turn you around. Back say, I draw the line. Know what? No turning back. Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a. And don't let nobody tell you what God can't do when God says he can. And he ain't made a walk from it. You, the David, you got to keep on speaking. The devil's going to do anything to try and discourage you. Early in his brothers tried to discourage him. David looked at me and said, is there not a cause? Don't listen to what the enemy's saying. You speak. You got to speak to your situation. David said to Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep. And there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and spoke to him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I called him by his beard and spoke him and thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he had defied the armies of the. God's not dead, he's still alive. The same God that delivered David from the lion, he's still alive. Because he is the living God. Listen, when they went to look for Jesus, remember after Jesus died, he was in the tomb? They went to the tomb looking for Jesus. And they were all discouraged and waving. And Jesus appeared unto them and they didn't know it was Jesus. He said, why are you seeking the living glory amongst the dead? He's not dead, he is. I come again, dead, he's a living God. He is alive. So stop seeking God among the dead. Let God speak. Let God move. Let God be real in your life. Hallelujah. David said in verse 37, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear. Who delivered him?
God.
You got to speak. I was here before God. I mean, devil, I was here before trial. But God brought me through before. And it's a same God. He has not changed. If he did it before, he'll do it again. Our problem is when God delivers us and we get back to the trial, we get discouraged. Speak to that thing. Whatever that not, speak to it. Glory. And God has not changed. Amen. That's what we teach. That's what we preach. I ain't gonna do it yet. All right, so David says, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the bear and the lion, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go and the Lord be with thee. Now, this is when you don't want to get somebody help. So listen, you didn't have confidence that God was going to deliver me. Don't give me no advice. You understand? Good. Wait a minute. All y'all been running, and all y'all been in church all these years, and y'all scared. Now that I decide to do something, I don't need no advice.
Amen.
Seriously. You understand? So everybody been in church all these years, you're ready to go, bro, let me tell you. You didn't do it. I ain't trying to be smart. I'm just saying, right? Saul was hands and shoulders above everybody. He was a giant himself, but he was a coward. Because he wouldn't meet Goliath. Now that David wants to do it, he's trying to give him some advice. He just Just believe God for yourself.
Amen.
Amen. David, and Saul armed David with his armor, and he put his helmet and all on. Verse 39, David girded his stuff, and David said, Saul, I cannot go with these. Why not prove them? And David, that's our problem. A whole lot of people put some stuff on us. We need to put that stuff off. A whole lot of people dump some stuff on you. But they want to do it. It's time to put it off. Take that stuff off. Listen, it didn't help you. I see where you are. I think I'm going to do this on my own. Don't let people stop putting a whole lot of stuff on you. And you ought to do it this way. You ought to do it that way. You ought to do this. And God will open the windows of heaven to pour you out a blessing. And God will do this. And you don't even have a dime to pay tithes. And then when you do, you don't pay. But then all of a sudden, you got answers. What he didn't know, it wasn't David. It was God in David.
Amen.
Remember, what was God in David? Remember prior to this, Samuel had anointed him? And the Bible says the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. So his God's Spirit was in David when he goes to Goliath. But what the devil does, he only sees us. He never sees what's in us. So he doesn't see the God in David. To realize that David wasn't fighting his battles. Alright, I'm almost I'm close. Alright. And it says that verse 43 says, and the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine, now listen, he's trying to intimidate David with what? Words. That's the same tactic. And he uses his words. Plus, he's going to huff and he's going to puff, right? He's just doing all this stuff, trying to what? Intimidate us. Come to me and I will give thy flesh to the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then, it's time to speak. Then David said to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. But I come to thee in the hallelujah. Why? Because the name of the Lord in a strong time. Hallelujah. He said, anything you ask in my name, God said, I'll do it. He said, I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of you, Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver me into thine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistine this day unto the fowl of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, then all the earth. Lord, thank you. He said, listen, I'm not doing this for me, but I'm doing this to glorify God. Then all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword or spear. For the battle, whatever you're going through tonight, incorporate God with you. Then the battle is the Lord, and he will give you into our hands. And it came to pass when the Philistine said, what? He's still trying to intimidate him. So he gets what? He goes at him. And there was someone who was, whoa. So the Philistine is coming at David. He said, well, God, I thought we were going to fix this before he started coming too close. I'm just saying, this is how we be thinking, right? So when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, then David, said, you don't intimidate me. Whatever that trial is you've been running from, it's time for you to enter. He might be so David did what? Now the question tonight, what are we doing with our mountains? What are we doing with our lives? Are we running to them? Are we running away from them? There is power in the all along. David never cowered down. Because he knew the battle was who? God. Whatever you're going through tonight, the battle is the Lord. God told Jehoshaphat when they were outnumbered, he said, just be still. For the battle is not yours, but the battle is the Lord. He said, the only thing I want you to do is send me some praises out. Send me some worshipers out. So they're going to fight the enemy. And the enemy looks and says, what's wrong with these crazy Israelites? We get ready to go to a war, and they got some people out here praising. They got priests. Praising.
Amen.
They were looking like, what in the world? And the Bible said, all of a sudden, God said, ambushments.
Right.
Why? Because they, in the middle of their situation, they. That's good. That's good. We got to learn to start speaking to our trials. When we speak to our trials, let's go to one other. Go to Romans 4:17. We close on this. Right? Speak to your situation. Don't let your situation speak to you. Amen. The Bible, we all know the story of Abraham. Sarah. Sarah was barren, Abraham was 100, and Sarah was 90. Amen? Verse 17 says, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. Before him whom he believed who?
God.
Who? Wait a minute. God gives dead things life. Was not Sarah's womb dead? And God gave it, who quickeneth the dead and does what? All of those things that be not. Who against hope? Believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations. According to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not. The question tonight, do we have strong faith or weak faith? You want God to do something, you can't come to God with weak faith. Amen. Strong faith caused life to come to something that was dead. Amen. Whatever you need tonight, don't be weak in faith. He considered not his own body now dead. When he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb, he staggered not at the promises of God through. Every time you doubt, you are staggering. If you say God can and then you doubt, that is staggering. That is doubting. That is saying, I'm not sure if God can. But Abraham staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief. Amen. And said, but was strong in faith? When? After the child was born? No. Before. Somebody said, well, God lived me up. When do you with me? When he? We're supposed to be strong in faith before. He said, being partially persuaded. Halfway persuaded. Being fully persuaded that and he what? Promised. He was able to speak to your mountains. Speak to your situations. Don't let them cower you down. Don't let them make you stubborn. Don't let them make you stagger. Believe God. Trust God. Amen. Every time it seems like it's not going to happen, speak to it. Every time the lion tried to tell you what he's going to do, say, God is with me. As we all stand. We need to speak to our trials, speak to our mountains. Most of all, let God have his way. We need to stop getting out of the cliches of church. And we need to start embracing this word. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. How? Through faith. And then out through the word, so that things which did appear were made out of things which were not even there. By what? Faith. Don't look at the storms. Don't look at the obstacles. What's more, stop listening to the intimidations from the tribe. Our trials are intimidating us, beating and backing us into a corner. We need to come out of that corner. You know, y'all ever seen George Foreman when he was an old man? They tried to make him sit down on the stool. Every time the bell rang, he came. Run. Right? That's what we need to start doing. I don't care how old I am. I don't care what I look at. Start running at your trials and your years. Hallelujah.